one more time, coming at you from my attic at the center of the universe in downtown Toronto. This is the Recency Bias. Zach Vanoss, along with you here, managing editor at rabbithabs.com, of course, co-host of the Montreal Bias podcast, which I imagine we'll have one of those coming for you relatively soon as Sean and I get together. It'll be a big 76v6 bit. Uh-oh. Sean was texting me Saturday night, and he's amped up to get into it. So, your Montreal Canadiens, ladies and gents, have been eliminated. The 2016-2017 season for the Habs is over. A 3-1 loss in Game 6 on Saturday night in New York, and this thing is done. Alexi Yemelin, your Montreal Canadiens' only goal scorer. Six games in the first round, and that's the end of it. Let's be honest. That's a disappointment. Whatever was going to happen in the playoffs was going to dictate how we felt about this season of the Canadiens. You know, very much unlike the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are able to feel good about themselves no matter what happens in these playoffs for them. The Habs season would be dictated by how well they did in the playoffs. Six games and done? Not good. Definitely a very, very disappointing season. I had better expectations from this team. I thought they would go further than this. I thought they should have been better. But alas, they're done. So now we head into the offseason. We watch other teams rise on and play out some successes into June, but for now, for your Montreal Canadiens, the season has come to an end. Of course, what happens now is we all start asking where, who, what, how. Where's the blame going to fall? And I could, considering how new Claude Julien is to the gig, I think he avoids some of the questioning over the summer. I think it's all falling pretty squarely on the shoulders of Marc Bergevin, who a summer after trading P.K. Subban for Shea Weber needed some success from this team. He needed them to do something that seemed substantial. Six games against the New York Rangers and out, definitely not substantial. People will look back now to what he did at the trade deadline, specifically for the forwards. King, Ott, Martinson being brought in. Getting plenty of playing time in the playoffs. Don't know that that really helped a team that struggled all season to find the back of the net. And when it all was said and done, that was the issue, the main issue, I think, in the series against Rangers. Failing time and time again, I think, throughout the series. Really, when they had opportunities again to put the put the Rangers away, they just didn't do it. They weren't able to do it. Max Pacioretty without a goal through six games is just, in the playoffs, it's not acceptable. We know he's cold and hot. But if you're the guy, and in Montreal's case, he's the guy, he wears the C, he provides the offense. We all applauded him for his bounce back season this year. But a no-show through six games of the playoffs, more or less, that erases a lot of the good that he'd kind of done over the season, at least in people's minds. So that was a struggle. Alex Galchenyuk remains as much an enigma to the fans, apparently, to the coaches, to everybody. Maybe more of an enigma than he has been at any other point in recent years. And some people even want to put some blame on Vezina-nominated Carey Price after this series. That's something worth parsing out a little bit further. Because Price was good in the series. Absolutely, Carey Price was very good in the series, but he wasn't great, and he was beat by Henrik Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist was the story of the series, no doubt about that. Henrik almost beat the Habs by himself. Him, Matt Zuccarello, Rick Nash, it was pretty much them versus the Canadiens. Canadiens countered with essentially Price putting up what he did. Shea Weber having a good series. And after that, Brendan Gallagher was great. One goal, though. So even that's not enough. Not in a night where Matt Zuccarello gets a couple. Everybody kind of coming up short. I mean, if you're going to be angry at Carey Price, you have, you know, that's based on expectation, obviously. But he did let a soft goal in Game 6 when he couldn't. He simply could not let a soft goal in at that point, and he did. And that was enough to eliminate them. So, well, you know, the Price defenders will say, what do you expect from him? How good does he have to be? Well, if he's going to be carrying the Montreal Canadiens a little bit better, he has to be as good as Henrik was, and he wasn't quite. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's the reality. There were highlights in the series. There were good things to take from it. Gallagher, as I say, was great. Arturi Lehkonen was awesome. We've got a lot to look forward to, perhaps, in the future of Arturi Lehkonen. See where that goes. And I know there'll be plenty, not just in the Montreal Canadiens community, but in the NHL at large, who will want to hold up the PK Subban for Shea Weber trade and point to that, now that the Canadiens certainly disappointed this year. And look, I don't know that that had much of an effect when all things are considered. Shea Weber was actually very good in this series. So I don't know that that's the difference maker one way or another. But you could point to it as a, perhaps Marc Bergevin's thinking on the game is wrong. If he's valuing things like size, physicality, over talent, and the insertion and the acquisitions of King Ott and Martinson would indicate that you think that way. I think there's a lot to be parsed out over the I was going to say coming, but it's here for the Montreal Canadiens, the offseason. Let's think a little bit bigger picture. Where we find ourselves. 5 years into the Marc Bergevin era. There's been good things, even within this season. Radulov was great. Paul Byron, what a pickup. Deneau, good acquisition. 5 years in, two coaches, not a ton of success for the Habs, really. They've been good. They've had some moments. But this team has never quite risen to the point we'd hoped they'd get to, considering what Bergeron walked into. Did he walk into the third worst team in the NHL that season? Yes. Though a team that I think we all... Nobody thought that was actually that bad of a team. That was a team that went to a free fall and found themselves with the third worst record in the NHL after a horrific season. So he inherits a third overall pick in Alex Galchenyuk. He has the generational goalie coming his way in Carey Price, just as Price is starting to truly become what he is. He has PK Subban. He has Max Pacioretty, a guy who proven to score between 30 and 40 a season. So he's inherited some really nice pieces when Marc Bergevin comes to the table for the first time with the Canadiens. What can he do with it from there on out? Tinker, I guess, because that's all we've really seen is tinkering. You swap PK Subban out for Shea Weber, closing your window much quicker. Alex Galchenyuk's evolution has been bungled, mishandled. The guy was playing on the left wing of the fourth line when this series started. He bounced between wing and center throughout it. I don't think any of us, Galchenyuk included, have any idea where his future lies. My suggestion, my suspicions, I should say, are that he has played his last game for the Montreal Canadiens, as has Nate Beaulieu. Would not be surprised if the two of them are bundled with a first round draft pick. Maybe swap for that center. I mean, if we're going to go ahead and start next year with Deneau as the top line center and Plex as number two and on and down the line in that sense, I don't know that this team's ceiling is much higher than what we saw from them this year. It's time, Marc Bergevin. You've had 5 years. You've done your tinkering. You've brought, you know, third liners and fourth liners. So we've seen sweeping changes of that. Radulov was the first, I think, real insertion of something for a full season, and it helped a lot. It was a big difference this year. But we've always known the issue in Montreal was they didn't have that center. And it remains an issue. You failed for your reasons, his reasons, whatever reasons. They fall on you, Marc Bergevin, to figure out why you couldn't turn Galchenyuk into that center. All the talent seems to be there. I don't think we've ever really been concerned about his talent. So what was it that's gone wrong? At this point, there's a lot of questions. And I'll tell you what will really cause me to lose my shit is if Marc Bergevin comes out in his postseason presser and talks to the press and talks about a freaking process. That will drive me insane. Because 5 years, two coaches, trading the most beloved player in this team's recent history. If you want to point to, well, last year we didn't make the playoffs, this year we did. That's progress. Shut up. I'm not interested in that. That is not the process. That is not progress. Not 5 years in. Not with Carey Price's talent. Not with what you should have been able to do so far. This season was a disappointment. You know, getting on the podcast 70-some-odd times, I think, when all's said and done this year. So often I was apprehensive about making big declarative statements about this team. Because I thought we really needed to see what they'd built for the postseason. It felt like a team that was supposed to be built for the postseason. But six games against a Rangers team that did not take it to the Canadiens, really. The Rangers did not impress, okay? Beyond Henrik Lundqvist, the Rangers did nothing spectacular in the first round. Canadiens got beat in six games, I might add. Didn't even take it to seven. It's frustrating. I'm sure the team's frustrated. I'm sure Marc Bergevin and Claude Julien are frustrated. And a bounce here or there might have been enough for them, but they didn't get them. They didn't make them happen. And, yeah, going to be a lot of questions at the exit interviews. What the hell now, guys? Probably some strong shakeup in the offseason. Or if not, what the hell? What, do we trot this back out? You'll make the playoffs again. You might win the Atlantic again. After that, I don't know. Do not know. Carey Price about to enter into the final year of his contract where he's not going to be paid north of $9 million a year. For many, many years now, the majority of people have had next season circled as when that window will start to close pretty quickly on the Habs' chances for the time being. Be interesting to see. The good news, I suppose, is even once Price is overpaid and in his advanced stage, he can still steal a series because Henrik Lundqvist just stole one. So we got that going for us, which is nice. That's it for the recency bias for this season. You can find me for my non-hockey takes and even hockey takes through the playoffs at Zach Drops Tweets. Give me a follow so we don't get out of touch during the summer. Montreal Bias is, of course, available at the Montreal Bias. The podcast itself available on Stitcher and iTunes. You know, same place you're likely listening to this, unless you go to the website and hit the old play button. Subscribe. Season's over. Leave a comment. Let me know what you thought on the podcast, or hey, even about the Canadiens. I'd love to hear from you. It was fun. I enjoyed doing the recency bias in this first season. It was good to get on after most games and talk it out. Hear feedback from you guys. Sorry it had to end so early. Like I said, Sean and I will definitely have one more episode of the Montreal Bias before too long. The recency bias and the Montreal Bias will both be available and sitting by to jump on when the big things happen in the off season. We'll probably do a couple fun one-off episodes about maybe the Habs and maybe shenanigans unrelated. All that to come into the long dark stretch we call the off season. Started in April. That's early. All right. That'll do me. Disappointing. Till next season, take care.